Well, good morning, everybody. As I look around, I realise it's a hot day. I think many have gone to the beach. But hallelujah, we're all here and God's here by his Spirit. And I just praise the Lord how we've been able to worship in spirit and in truth with the band this morning. Thank you, Gary and Claire, for what you've done there. We do appreciate it. And I also say thank you because they got the techie side sorted out in the end despite the problems. Do you know, I have to say, this is the first time, why is everybody leaving? What have I said? This is the first time I've preached since my eyesight's been healed. Some of you may have been here when I shared. I used to wear glasses, Varilux glasses for long distance and short distance and driving. And over the years that I've been wearing them, I've been praying, I don't like these things because when I've got them on, I can't see this way, that way, or the other way when you're doing things, particularly when you're preaching or speaking to a crowd of people. So I've been praying for years about it. Well, this last time when I went earlier in the year, it was just so encouraging. There was a Christian girl who checked my eyes and she just said, "Have you got glasses with you?" I said, "Actually, they're in the car. They're just for driving. I wear 2.5 now for reading." I thought she's not going to like that either. And she said, "Well, I tell you what, send the lot to Africa because you're fine." So that was wonderful news. So this is the first time I'm up here without glasses. Hallelujah. So we'll just see how well it all works, won't we? Several weeks ago, I felt the Lord impress something upon me. He said, "I want you to speak about the rich young ruler," which is in Mark 10, if you want to be getting there and looking there in your Bibles. Or some people call it the rich young man. And I thought, oh, okay, great. I'll sort of have a pray about it and a think about it. Just in my quiet time came upon me. And then we were at the Bible school, the summer Bible school, and Steve said, "I want to talk about the rich young ruler." I thought, oh, great. Have I heard God correctly? And then, believe it or not, Clive on the 1st of June, I think it was when he preached, guess what he also said? The rich young ruler. So I said, "Oh Lord, have I got it wrong? Have I made a mistake here? Have I not heard correctly?" And I really felt him press upon me, "No, I want you to speak about this from a different perspective." So here we go. And I just feel that to ask you before we start to read it, what are you and I like at making decisions? You're sitting there and saying, "Oh, I'm brilliant," or "I'm poor," or "I'm okay. I've made some duff ones." We've all have. Join the clan. But I want to ask us, do we bring the Lord into our decision making as much as we should? And I believe that's what he really wants to impress upon us today and to deal with some issues of our decision making. So just before we read, let's pray. We're going to start in Mark 10, verse 17. So let's pray. Father, as we read your word, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would impress upon me to say that which you want me to say and no more, that it may alight upon not only the people's hearts here, but my heart also. That you change each one of us to be the people of God you want us to be, to reach this needy world for you, Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, Mark 10, 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," Jesus said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said it again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Well, who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up. Good old Peter, he always puts his foot in it. "We've left everything to follow you." You just hear him saying it, can't you? And Jesus replies, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Thank you, Lord. Let's really help us to glean something out of this today, shall we? We never hear about this young man again, which I find very, very sad, because he probably was never able to yield his heart fully to Jesus. He couldn't make the correct decision for his final destination in life, and that is what he wanted. So I ask each one of us before we move on, is Jesus fully Lord of all our lives, or is he just our Savior? Because he wants to be Lord of every area of your life and my life, as well as our personal saviors. Do you know, in the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read that Judas never addressed Jesus as Lord. Did you know that? He always addressed Jesus as teacher or master. Now, the other disciples addressed Jesus as Lord. Isn't it indicative whose heart went astray? Judas? Because he'd never fully yielded every part of his heart and life to Jesus. He was stealing money, wasn't he, from the treasury bag? We know that. So he couldn't call Jesus Lord. It was teacher. The rich young man wanted to know he had eternal life. What had he got to do? But he called Jesus teacher. We could tell his heart wasn't yielded. His life wasn't yielded. So what gripped him? Well, we know it was his money. It was his wealth. But I've got to tell you, there is nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. Let's just turn to that, shall we? We will turn, I think, to Timothy. 1 Timothy. And just look at that. 1 Timothy 6, we'll just nip over there. I was planning to share it later, but I think it's important at this point. Keep turning right in your Bibles if you're looking. You may be on your phone doing it, I don't know. But 1 Timothy 6, we're going to just pick up at 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So we realize the rich young man, he said, "I've kept all the commandments." But we realize the key was his wealth. "I've kept all the commandments." But he hadn't. He'd broken the very first one. Love the Lord your God. Worship the Lord your God. And then in the New Testament, we read the Ten Commandments are encapsulated in Luke 10:27, which is the scripture God gave to birth this church. Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He'd broken the first part of that. He was relying on his self-righteousness. He was relying on his goodness. He was relying on his good works. I spoke to somebody in town yesterday who said they were good. And I said, but I thought I was good. We won't get there being good. It's Jesus gets us there. It's yielding our heart and our life fully, fully to God. Romans 2:23 tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is inherited. It's inherited because of the fall of mankind. But Jesus paid the price for the sins of all who will repent and turn to him in faith and fully give their hearts and yield their lives to him. James 1:22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. So I ask each one of us as we're sitting here today, do I do that? Do I listen to the word and do it? Do you listen to the word and do it? Are we doing what the word says? Ephesians 2:8-10, you don't have to go there. I wrote it down so I would read it for you quickly. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Terry shared last week about it being a gift of God, not from God, of God, part of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's no good saying, I'm good, I do this, I do that, I do the other. We have to fully put our faith in Jesus, fully yield everything. And the last part of that scripture is, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, as Jesus conversed with this young man, and he looked at him, and he loved him. And you do realize that was a word of knowledge Jesus had about his wealth. Even as Christians, you and I can have things grip our hearts. Did you realize that? Not just money. Yes, some of you are agreeing. It can be anything. Anything can stop you and I growing in Christ. Anything can stop you and I fulfilling our destiny. Did you know that? Anything can become an idol. Anything can become a stronghold. Our possessions can possess us. Did you realize that? Be it your cars, your clothes, your holiday, your houses, your job, your family, your hobbies. It can even be our emotions. You can be consumed by unforgiveness. You can be consumed by envy. You can be consumed by so many things. I'll just flip over to Psalm 135. If you feel like it, you could turn there. You're awfully quiet out there. You are still there, aren't you? Good. Right, 135. And we're going to pick up in verse 15. Right, I'm here. Are you there? Verse 15 of Psalm 135. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Now just flip back to verse 5 of the same psalm. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than any gods. So any car, any house, any new hairdo, anything, our God is greater. He wants to be the first. He wants you and I to yield every aspect of our lives to him. Everything, our emotions, our possessions, our everything. You know, after the rich young man turned away, sad, Jesus then turned to his disciples, didn't he, and tried to explain to them about kingdom living and kingdom ways. And I think I would just pick up on that with a few verses of scripture, because before I was a Christian, I didn't have peace because I had all the trappings in the world, but no peace inside. The new dress didn't satisfy, the new car didn't satisfy, the new holiday didn't satisfy. Nothing satisfied. But when you give your life fully to Jesus, when you yield every aspect, you have peace. John 14:27, Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Another aspect of kingdom living and kingdom ways. Luke 6:38, "Give, and it will be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Do you know, we can trust Jesus. You can trust Jesus, every one of you here, every one of you listening on the tape. You can trust Jesus. We can give him our hearts. We can give him our finances. We can give him our money. We can give him our possessions. We can give him our dreams. And when you do, you can watch him multiply them and you can watch him bless you. Somebody agrees with me. I can tell you it works. I do it. I've done it. Do I slip up sometimes? Of course I do. We all do. But I want us to realize we have a God who loves us. He loves you unconditionally. He's rooting for you today, saying, "Come on, my son. Come on, my daughter. Rise up. Get encouraged. Get excited for me." Right, Ephesians 4, another part of kingdom living and kingdom ways. 22 to 24 of Ephesians 4. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Folks, it's a decision we have to make. It's like you take a coat off and you put something else on. You have to take it off. It's the same as your old ways, my old ways. I have to make a decision to change. And when I make that decision and I take one step before Jesus and say, "I'm going to do it. Help me, Holy Spirit." Guess what? He says, "Okay, I'm going to help you do it." And he will. It's a decision. Now, another bit of their kingdom living that was referred to Jesus did in that scripture was it was hard for the camel to go through an eye of a needle. Now, there's a great controversy about this with all the concordances, lecturers over the years. Some people say the Greek wasn't translated correctly, and instead of the word camel, it should be the word cord. Well, okay, if you want to get a cord through the eye of a needle, you can't do it. You've got to thin it down, haven't you, to get it through the eye of a needle. You've got to shred it. But I like the one that I heard way, way back when I was in Jerusalem. When I was there and I saw the walls around Jerusalem and I saw all the gates, the city gates, and I was there and somebody explained to me that when the gates were shut at night in the old days, they used to open a side door and a camel couldn't get through with all its bags and baggages on, and they had to take the bags and baggages off the camel to get it through the narrow doorway. Is it truth? I don't know, but that's the one I like best, because that proves you have to shed the garbage you and I pick up in life. All these things bog us down. So I ask each one of us, are you and I too busy running around trying to service everything? All our possessions? Do you know, sometimes I think we can be. And guess what? They'll all be there when we've gone. And moth and rust will destroy them. Who knows, if you hang something in the wardrobe long enough, you go to it and you look at it and you think, is that a bit of moth? Don't keep servicing our possessions. Let's service the ways of the kingdom of God. Jesus fully paid the price on Calvary. He bought for you and me salvation. He bought forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. Praise the Lord for that. He bought healing. He bought wholeness. He bought provision. He bought blessings in abundance when we were walking his ways on earth. And guess what? Blessings in eternity with him. And this is what the rich young ruler couldn't grasp. Do you know, a recent survey showed the following facts. 50% of people have no idea where they're heading in life. 50%, be it spiritually or physically. 40% will go anywhere they're led. Have you noticed that? 10% don't know where they want to go anyway because they can't be bothered. and they can't be bothered to pay the price. So what is the price? The price is fully yielding my heart and my life, my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions to God. Simple. Same for you. That's the price. And when we do that, the blessings flow. Our daily lives are full of decision making. Believe it or not, the Lord said this talk was entitled Decisions. I thought, oh great, yeah, decisions. I see that from the rich young ruler. But it's more than that. It's more than that. We make decisions every day of our life. Some are big, some are small. We make some good, we make some bad. We make some that we think, oh, what do we do that for? It's a bit indifferent. But there's consequences of all our decisions. Consequences. And sometimes those consequences follow us around for a long, long time. Would you have changed some of your decisions in the past? You've thought about it more? Yes. Come on, you should all be saying that. You've not all got it right all the time, and I've got some wrong. Come on, be honest. The challenge to you and I today is to be wise enough to put our lives into God's perspective. Let's learn. Let's learn from the past. Let's have spirit-filled eyes. Let's see what God's saying. Let's benefit from the word. The word is the Bible. It's the living word of God. It is Jesus. It's Jesus talking to you and me. And we have his Holy Spirit. We're blessed to be walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The word and the Spirit on trams are dynamite. By trams, I mean side by side. Too much word you dry up. Too much spirit you blow up. You need them equal. Equal. It's a balance. Let me just share something with you. I'll probably wake you up and make you laugh. A few years ago, well, many years ago now, we had our first car that had a sat nav built in. Yeah? And, oh, we were so excited. And within a week or two, we were going off to a big meeting with J. John and our trust somewhere near Henley-on-Thames. I cannot even remember the name of this little village now. And so Terry cleaned the inside of the car out. And he took this tacky old map out, the road atlas. He said, I will go to Smith's and get another one, but he never did. So we trundled off, and I set the sat nav, I'd learned how to do it, and she's talking to us beautifully, and we trundle along, gorgeous, we get there nicely, and I would say we're about 12 miles away from the village where we're supposed to be, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of fields, and this darling sat nav says, you've reached your destination. And Terry says to me, where are we? I said, I don't know, you're driving. He said, but you've been watching the signs, haven't you? I said, no, I've been watching the countryside. What village did we just come through? I said, I don't know. So he said, I don't know what we're going to do. We can't phone because we don't know where to tell them we are. And anyway, the signal down there is so bad, they won't pick it up. I mean, you look an idiot, don't you? We're lost. We don't know where we are. We're in the middle of a field. So we drive on, and Terry says, we'll come to another village. We come to a pub. He pulls up 50 yards away from the pub, right? He doesn't want to be seen as a man driving the car. He says to me, get out and go and ask them. They'll think it's a woman driving, right? So I get out, and I think, why have I done this? I go to the pub, and it's open, and I walk in, the bar area there, and there's two old boys there with their pints on the bar, and a young, I don't know if he's the barman, the owner or what, and I go, good morning. I said, I wonder if you could help me, I'm a little bit lost. And they look at me, you know, as if to say, dumb woman, you know. I said, I don't really know exactly where I am. The sat nav, I think, has gone wrong, but I'm looking for this particular village. You're a long way away, gal. You know, and this sort of thing. So you better take that car back and get that sat nav fixed, you know, this sort of thing. So I said, well, I haven't got a map actually in the car, so I really don't know what to do. Could you help me? And they talk amongst themselves, and then they say, down here for a mile, turn right, turn left. Go through that housing estate you see there. And I look at them and they say, she hasn't got it, has she? I said, no, I haven't got it. Could you write it down for me? That went down like a lead weight. Well, the three of them get writing it all down, and they look at me and they say, buy a map, dear, and take the car back. So I run out there, jump in the car, I say, Terry, quick, drive, before they see it's you driving. They think it's me. And we get there. And we get there. Now, why am I sharing that with you? Wrong decisions. He should have gone out and got the map right away, the atlas. Right? Shouldn't have taken the old one out. That's his fault this time, not mine. All right? Get back on the horse. I had to humble myself and go in and look stupid, which I did, and got the directions, and we got there and we were on time. But I want to say to you, it was no good us sitting there and saying in the car, I don't like this. I don't know where I'm going. I think I'll go home. I don't know how to get home. I think I'll leave. I don't think I'll do that. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with this. It's no good any of that. We'd made a bad decision and there were consequences. And you just had to chin up and deal with it. That was the journey of our life that day. What's the journey of your life like today, and what was it like yesterday? What goofies have you done that you could have done something different? Because if we had actually prayed and prepared the journey, I would have known and not trusted the sat-nav completely to know which towns, villages, and whatever we were going through to get to the place. And I'd have just jotted them down on a piece of paper, and I didn't. So if we'd have planned our journey and our day properly, our decisions, we'd have had a different outcome. Could you relate to anything silly like that? There's plenty more I could share on my sillies, but I won't. Our final destination on the Lord is dependent on our destination daily. Daily. We need to feed on the Word and we need to feed on the Spirit. So I ask each one of us, have you got a bit beaten up by your circumstances lately? Do you feel you get up and goes, got up and gone? People are saying to me, it's too hot. I say, well, you wanted it when it was cold. I find it's lovely, but if it's too hot, well, get cooler. But why is it we moan about everything instead of actually thinking, how do we get through this journey, this chapter of our life today, without our moans and our groans? If you've lost your get up and go, can I encourage you today? Get it back. Just say, I'm not going to be like that. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Will you serve the Lord today? I don't want to walk in the flesh. When I do get to heaven one day, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. What about you? I don't want to hear, you could have done it better. Oh, my school reports always said that, could have done better. I'm sure yours did too. God has done everything to show us the correct direction in life. He's given us the manual, and he's given us his Holy Spirit. That still small voice that whispers in your ear, you should have, why don't you listen? Yeah? UCB Bible readings this week, did anybody do it? Some shocking statistics, did you pick them up? It was a C of E, the Church of England survey in 2017. 55% of people say they're Christian in the UK, but they don't read the Bible. 29% of people who say they're Christians, they don't pray. 35% of people who say they're Christians do not go to church. And only 6% of Christians said they were practicing Christians. So I'm saying to us, church, it's time for you and I, however few there are of us here today, to take a stand for Christ. It's time for you and I to stand up for Jesus. It's time for you and I to read our Bibles. It's time for you and I to pray. It's time for you and I to come to church. It's time for you and I to practice our faith. It's time for you and I to love and lead people to Jesus. It was great out on the street yesterday. I stopped for a while and helped David. I couldn't be there the whole time. And we had some great conversations. Is it hard on a hot day when the chocolate's melting? Give him a bottle of water instead, which is what we did, and we had some great conversations. We need to stand up for Jesus. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I've got news for us today. It may be warm still, but God wants to stretch you today. God wants to stretch you today. God wants to stretch me today. If you and I want revival, anybody want revival? Yeah, every hand's gone up. That means it starts with you and me. That means it starts with you and I stepping up into revival and into everything that Jesus has got for us today. We don't want to turn away like that rich young ruler. He was religious. A God-fearing man. Maybe a God-believing man. But he hadn't given his heart to the Lord when he passed. Let's let go of past hurts. Let's let go of our disappointments. Let's let go of our frustrations. Let's let go of the consequences of our wrong decisions and move on and up. Let's let go of any idols or strongholds that have gripped us inadvertently. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. Do you know your spiritual strength and mine is not measured by what you know, but what we believe by faith and walk in. If we're not doing it, and if we're not walking in love and obedience, we're not doing it, folks. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. So are we up for this? Come on, shall we stand? I think we should do this now. I want us to realize Jesus is greater than any problem you've got. Do you hear that? Jesus is bigger than any problem you've got. Jesus is greater than any stronghold you've got in your life, or anything that you realize that you had an idol in your life. He's bigger, he's greater, he's stronger, he's better. He's better than anything you and I can ask, imagine, or contemplate. And I'm just gonna say to us now, shall we pray? Holy Spirit, I invite you, Holy Spirit. I pray that I have said everything you wanted me to say to touch hearts this morning and to touch my hearts. In this moment of silence, just give yourself afresh to the Lord. I believe everybody here this morning knows the Lord. But if you don't, and he's just your Savior, surrender your heart, your life to him. Yield everything. Your dreams, your disappointments, your frustrations, your money, your possessions, everything. Just yield it. Your family, your children, your husbands, your wives, your friends, people let you down. Surrender it. Holy Spirit, I invite you, Lord, touch each heart, touch mine. We say, come, come, Holy Spirit. Minister to each one of us as only you can this morning. I believe the Lord is touching hearts. You know you're being touched by the Lord. Just, I would ask each one of us, just come forward. Just come. You want to surrender things to Jesus, they're personal to you and the Lord. Just surrender. If you want more of the Father's blessings, you want anointing in your life, just come. Jesus says, come. You don't have because you don't ask. Just come. Receive everything Father has for you. You want revival? It starts with me and you.